Hey guys, what's up? Welcome back to
Hello, my name is True Crime.
My name's Kayla.
My name's Kayla.
And Wait. We've missed you guys.
Yes, we did.
Trevor is just feeling a little
neglected.
Yeah, a little podcast withdrawal.
Yep, had a little bit of that going on.
Yeah.
I was like, geez, it feels like it's been like months since we've recorded.
Yeah. He's like, I'm never taking a break again.
No, because... I didn't say that.
But yeah, so we're back, and we hope you guys enjoyed last week's episode.
Solo episode.
But we know that you're ready for his wildness back.
No, you're not.
Wild and Out. I think that was like a show on MTV.
Sounds familiar.
Wild and Out. Yes.
I don't know. I stopped watching MTV after music television stopped playing music.
Right. I think it's been like at least 10 years since I've like legitimately sat down and watched MTV.
Yeah.
At least.
If I have watched MTV, it was purely like accidental or coincidental or like, you know, at one of those restaurants that have like, you know, 117
yeah,
TVs.
Like B-dubs.
Yeah, B-dubs right. Or something like that.
Although we did start watching a movie last night that was an MTV, a music television movie. Like a
production.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
it was called Eli.
Eli. We didn't finish it yet.
We didn't.
What we watched of it, I thought it was pretty.
It was pretty interesting.
It's like haunted demons and scary shit. And...
Actually, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think you fell asleep, but
I did.
Anyways,
I know that much. Well, the boy has like this. He's like allergic to everything,
right.
Or something like that, or at least that's what he's been told his whole life and whatnot.
He's like a boy in a bubble.
Yeah.
Literally.
Quite literally.
And he goes to this creepy house that is a doctor and it's like sealed and he's going in for treatment and he starts seeing demons and ghosts. Maybe. I don't know. I'm going to finish it. Ones that have died there or what. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it seemed pretty good.
That's all speculation.
Yeah. And we're then just... we fell asleep.
Yes. So we'll finish that later today or later this week or later this month.
Yes.
Who knows?
Who knows? There's tons of movies right now on Netflix that I want to watch. Oh, and some of you put like little smiley faces and stuff in my story on Friday because I wanted to watch Scream. And I came home and we started to watch Scream on Netflix because it's actually on Netflix.
Yeah, 1, 2, and 3.
But our Netflix was being extremely stupid and it was... like watching a extremely scratched up DVD
or like a terrible
skip
like Asian movie with the
voices not matching up. It was horrible, but anyways,
like it would freeze up for a second and then everything else would keep going,
right?
And then all of a sudden you're hearing all these sounds that aren't syncing up with anything and you're a good 5 to 10 seconds behind what's actually happening.
It was really bad.
It was pretty dumb. And then it started skipping. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we were like, the hell with this.
I mean, I got some of my Scream fix in, but no, whatever.
And I was being a sourpuss. I was like, let's watch something else.
Yeah. And I was like, I want to watch Scream. But yeah. So.
It's a pretty good movie. It's not that bad.
No. But otherwise.
Drew Barrymore and her pretty dude.
Yeah. Yeah. She's so much younger than. It's crazy.
So weren't we all.
But I think that's pretty much all we've been doing lately. Like, we haven't really, like. Went out and did much of anything yet.
It's true.
Lately. Yet. Not yet. Lately.
Well, we've been really busy for the last month. Like,
yeah.
Solid month of weekends we've been...
Oh, we went camping.
Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot about that. We did go camping. That was fun. They had, like, a whole haunted camping trick-or-treat. Everybody decorated their campsites up, and they had a big Halloween costume contest, and... A trick-or-treat. It was really fun.
It was fun. Yeah. Oh, and they had a chili cook-off.
Yeah.
So I was in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, there was some California Reaper.
Oh,
that was
so
amazing. It was flavorful, but, like, fiery. And regrettable.
Right. It was good, though. I took a bite of it, and it was good, but I couldn't handle it. Not at all.
So, some of you may have noticed a different theme music when Solo Kayla was... rocking
console. I got nothing.
Okay, well, good try. So she got to take our official theme music for a test spin on her solo episode, which didn't make anybody else involved in this jealous by any means whatsoever. So yeah,
I didn't even mention it. I just slid it right in.
She just
and
slipped
didn't
it in there
it.
And people are probably like, okay. But that's our theme. Yeah, that's our official theme thing. We paid theme. Money for that and yes. everything. It's officially
yes
for our.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, so I like it.
If you guys are interested in any music for your podcast or your YouTube, whatever you do, check out Noah Britton. He has a website, and I will link it in this episode in the description. It's pretty awesome. He mm-hmm. he does a really good job, and he is not. It's not expensive.
It's very diverse too. He's got a lot of different
yes
different stuff there. Plus, if and even if you're one of those people that walks around with those flip headphones where you turn this thing and then it's like a portable speaker thing, so everybody can hear what you're listening to. If you want your own theme music for when you're walking down the street,
like an 80s movie.
Yeah, anything like that.
Don't you forget about me. You
just flip your
don't.
Headphones around.
That was really bad singing. I have to edit that out.
That wasn't bad. Don't edit that out. Leave it in there.
Right. So,
But yeah, so it's cool. It's cool. And yeah. that's our thing now. That's yeah. going to be
I love it.
In it unless, you know, there's something else that we need to
right.
use or yeah. what have you.
Who knows? So. Who knows what the future holds? I can't tell.
Who could? I mean, I suppose if anyone could, they'd call it something other than the future.
Right.
Like, already know. Already knows
the what. Already know. The all known.
Past, present, and already know it.
So, today's episode is...
Crazy.
Cray cray.
Sorry, we always say that.
It is. We do, yes.
It's but not really crazy.
It's really sad, actually. Some of you may already know about it. It is on the Richardson family. So... It's kind of aggravating, but...
It's very aggravating.
Yes. So, we'll just jump into it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, the Richardson family was what many people living in Medicine Hat, Canada, would claim to be, like, the perfect family. They seemed to have a life that everyone would be pleased to have. And parents Mark and Debbie Richardson met in the 90s at a gym. It's actually kind of a cute story how they met. They both attended this gym... They hit it off almost instantly, as they both had past struggles with substance abuse in their younger years. But the two became not only committed to their sobriety, but to each other. And it just, they built this bond that they both, based on their past struggles, and it was, they had a really, really good relationship. They also shared similar dreams in life of a family. So they eventually married in Ontario in 1991, and soon after they became pregnant with their first child, a girl. Her name was Jasmine. And then 4 years later, they had their son, Tyler, which he goes by Jacob.
That's not confusing.
So the family moved into a very nice three-bedroom house in the suburbs where Mark and Deborah worked tirelessly to make a better life for their children. They had a very dynamic relationship with one another. And when I say that, I mean Mark and Deborah with their children. Mark worked a very good job at an oil and gas company so that Deborah could stay home with the kids. However, while home, he spent all of his time with his family. Whenever he was off work, they did family outings, they went on bike trips, they really liked to go on bicycle trails together as a family and take these awesome bike trips together, including motorcycles. That was a big thing with their family,
jealous.
Too. They not only like regular bicycles that you pedal, but motorcycle bikes as well. So they just did a lot of really awesome stuff together. And Deborah worked as a holistic therapist, and as a way to continue to be a stay-at-home mom, she actually set her studio up in their home. I think this is pretty awesome. Like, I would love to continue to work,
mm-hmm.
but be home as well. I think that's, like, everybody, like, every parent's dream is
Well, they used to do that back in the old days.
Right. You
know, like, their little cave and stuff.
In their little cave?
Yeah, they'd go out and, you know, kill for the day, and here's dinner!
Come back and just you know? Hang out at home. You're so silly.
Well, I mean, we had a purpose back then, and I think that's really cool how it was living. I know that came out wrong, like, we don't have a purpose nowadays. We really don't. We're just a little, we're biological machines, you know? Come to work, go home, pay bills, yeah. buy crap, go to sleep, do it all over again, you know, yeah. go to the supermarket to catch your meal for the day.
Right. Well, they had it together.
Yeah, they did.
They had an awesome setup, and it worked really well for their family. So mm-hmm. I would love to have something like that.
Me too.
But unfortunately, it's not something that everybody can do. Right. And real quick, I just want to show you pictures of the family. So, and I will also, I'll put these on Instagram for you guys on our Instagram page so you can see. So this is...
Yeah, Kayla doesn't like riding bikes, so we could never do anything like that.
Yeah, I'm not a big bike rider. So this is Mark and Deborah, and then Jacob. Yeah. So
Deborah is a thin-looking, kind woman. She looks
very kind.
With, you know, kind eyes. She has short, blondish hair with darker roots. What? And then the dad looks...
They just look really happy,
they
all
do.
Of
they
them.
Look, they look really happy.
They do.
And the dad's kind of balding and stuff. I'm just giving some little details for the people that are listening that aren't going to get on the Instagram. And then the little kid down in the front looks like he's got a combination of the width of his mom's smile and his dad's smile crammed into one little tiny body, and he's just cheesing it up
with his
little bangs.
Yeah, and I'll show you Jasmine, too. She just looks like a typical teen.
What up, Jasmine?
She looks happy, and she just looks like a normal teenage girl.
Yep.
You know?
Kind of like somebody's shoving a camera in her face, and she's like, okay, jeez. Go ahead.
So, yeah, like I said, I will put those up on the Instagram page where you guys can check them out. So, again, like I had said about the family, they did a lot of weekends doing outings together, and the Richardsons were really the ideal parents. And because of this, both children, Jasmine and Jacob, were very outgoing and very well-behaved children.
Yeah.
Jacob, he really looked up to his older sister. They had a really close bond together. He was a huge hockey fan, and Jasmine was a fun-loving, girly girl. But, you know, she would go out and she would play hockey with him in the streets. They would play this together, and it was one of their favorite things to do together. And like I said, she was a typical girl. She was a girl that everyone always enjoyed being around. She had many friends. That stated, they would often have sleepovers where they spent their time just watching movies and talking about boys. Literally the typical teenage girl stuff. But this was until Jasmine hit her preteens, and then literally everything completely changed. So Jasmine started spending a lot of her free time going to the mall and local concerts, where she eventually met a boy, well, or a man, 23-year-old Jeremy Stank or Stanky.
Stinky.
It looks like it's Stinky, but I think it's Stank. I'm not sure. The two quickly became infatuated. And I mean infatuated with one another. And soon after, Jasmine's sweet, childlike personality turned very dark and angsty almost overnight.
Yes, it was pretty weird.
Yeah. So... Jeremy, a little background on him. He came from a completely different background than Jasmine. He lived with his single addict mother, who often had her abusive partners in and out of their home. Jeremy lived a very rebellious, gothic lifestyle, often using drugs, and he clinged to the persona that he was a 300-year-old werewolf while wearing a vial of blood around his neck.
Clearly... the product of a perfectly normal upbringing.
Yeah. Like, can you imagine her going to this mall or concert, wherever she met him, and being like, oh my god, like, he's so hot.
What's not to like?
He wears a vial of blood. Like, I don't know.
It's my future ex-husband.
And she's not stupid. I mean, well, she was very intelligent. They talked about how, you know, so it's, I don't know, it's very weird.
I don't know. There are book smart people, and good for them, that's great and everything. But then there's also common sense smart people.
Right.
And then there's people that don't have either of those two. And then there's like a combination mm-hmm. of the two. And those are the best kinds of people. And the worst kinds of people are... gullible, naive,
right.
ignorant.
I think
types.
That's kind of what happened. You know, she was so young. She was only, 12 years old?
Yeah.
And, I mean, come on. He's an adult. He's 23 years old.
And there's a huge difference between a smart child and a smart
exactly.
know, young adult.
And I'm sure it was very easy to kind of manipulate her by being like, I love you so much, yada, yada, yada.
And yeah, just attention alone.
Exactly. Exactly. So I think that's kind of what happened with this here.
Yeah, she kind of fell victim to,
right,
you know,
kind of
the got circumstances. Sucked in. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, hey, that's a pretty impressive story, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, God, you just got so much more attractive when you told me that you had blood. It's a vial of blood. That's, oh, my goodness. Wow. 300 years, huh? You must be smart.
Wow.
Okay, moving on.
So his friends all stated that Jeremy was always dating girls that were much younger than him. And they claimed that they believed the girls that were much younger seemed to be, again, more infatuated with dating a much older guy. And I think this kind of gave Jeremy a feeling of probably being loved and wanted, which is something that he definitely was not getting from his home life with his mom. Yeah. So that kind of, I think he, on the other hand, kind of was getting sucked in a different way because he felt loved, you know?
Yeah, so he was also receiving attention.
He found it in these younger girls, and I mean, that's not a good thing, but for him, he felt needed and wanted and loved and all this other stuff, you know? Totally not taking up for him and any of that, but that's kind of like just setting the scene there.
Yes. And there are some people that have mental instabilities or difficulties or problems and stuff like that. And if you can realize that and you know, pinpoint the problem and then work toward fixing the problem, things work out a lot better than if you just assume that these people act this way because they just, they're a dick and they want to.
Exactly. I think a lot of times, like, mental health definitely comes into play. And I go through so many cases, even similar to this, you know, where there's definitely some sort of mental illness going on and it's not being treated.
Right.
And
it could be being suppressed by, by, you know, like he could be, we'll just say him, for instance, since we're speaking about him, in denial, you know, not coming to terms with having a problem and things like that. And
you throw drug addiction in the mix with underlying mental health issues that's not being treated. And it's a time bomb.
That's a dumpster fire.
Right. So Jasmine took to the online sites that Jeremy often circulated. Both had very angst-driven personal profiles on Nixopia.com and VampireFreaks.com. I pulled up her page on each one of these sites. I don't think they're any longer online, but there are screenshots out there. And I found them, and they're very similar to what MySpace used to be. But
for vampires.
They're ridiculous.
And werewolves. Like,
her page that I seen on each one of these were ridiculous. So Jeremy went by the name of Soul Eater online, while Jasmine went, ironically, by Runaway Devil.
Hmm.
Yeah. Jasmine's page was selectively covered in pictures of her dressed in tight black clothes, while also suggestively sucking on her fingers.
What does that mean?
You've got to see the pictures. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Oh, my God.
She claimed that her interests were in scarification, plastic spoons, criminal psychology, kinky shit. Oh, mind Jesus. You, again, this is a 12-year-old
12-year-old. And what is she posing as? A 15, 16-year-old?
Yeah.
Okay, so number one, she's way too young to have any experience with plastic spoons. Okay, so there's no possible way that she knows what she's talking about.
Right. She also went on to say that she was very interested in hatchets, serial killers, oversized tricycles, and much more ridiculous nonsense.
And that's around the part where I kind of just lost all respect for any type of intellectual capabilities that this girl may have had, because they went out the window when the 300-year-old werewolf guy came into play.
Right. Yes. She also listed her heroes. This is ridiculous. As Jeffrey Dahmer, Chris Angel,
Jesus,
Marilyn Manson, and Batman.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. And like you said, she described herself as a 15-year-old bisexual Wiccan who was awkward and loud, a deep thinker, and also insane.
Anybody that has to state that they're a deep thinker probably isn't a deep thinker.
Right. She
likes plastic spoons.
Yeah. Like, come on. There was a lot of other, like I said, nonsense, like the plastic spoons. Yeah. I'm like, Jesus. Like, you can tell that it was repugnant. A lot of, like, attention-driven stuff, you know.
But, angsty, ridiculous, like, I'm unique and different. Yeah. Look at me.
Exactly. Right. So she had some dislikes on there, too, like public transportation, ageism, homophobia, sexism, hypocrites, which I found it very funny, but... You know, it was ridiculous.
Because she is a hypocrite to a degree.
Yeah. So Jocelyn's parents quickly caught on to the dramatic change in their daughter's behavior and appearance. I mean, it was like one day she was wearing pink and that evening she was dressed in black. She went from being an outgoing girl that spent a lot of time with her family and, like I said, wore pink girly clothes to secluding herself and wearing all black and a crap ton of heavy, dark makeup.
When her personality started to get darker, her parents thought she was just going through a teenage phase. There was a lot of fighting going on in the home between Jasmine and her family.
Yeah, exactly. There was. Like, the neighbors had reported that they could hear arguing coming from the house a lot around the time that this all kind of happened. But yeah, I mean... I totally understand her parents kind of just thinking, well, you know, she's going through a phase.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the first thing most parents come
to conclude. I really think that everybody goes through some sort of a phase, you know, around their teenage years, whatever it might be.
And if you're lucky, you'll have giant holes in your ears for the rest of your life.
Just like...
Moi.
Yeah. So, I mean, and it doesn't always mean that somebody's going to end up killing their parents.
Right.
You know, it's just, I don't know. I don't know. It's crazy. This is crazy. So they soon learned that she had started dating a 23-year-old, and in their eyes, he had influenced their young daughter's change, and naturally they were furious.
Yeah, pretty pissed. I'd be pissed.
I would too.
I'd be like,
absolutely not.
No.
Yeah. They ended up like forbidding her to see Jeremy anymore. And as a way to ensure that they would keep them apart, her parents grounded her for a month.
Chained her in the basement.
But...
Just kidding.
That didn't stop them because the couple still found a way to communicate online.
Of course they did.
And I think I had read somewhere in a couple different articles that the parents had actually, like, taken, like, phone privileges away from her and her computer. Mm-hmm. But I think she would, like, kind of sneak down and get online at night. And I do know that there were a couple instances where she actually snuck out of the house in the middle of the night to go hang out with him. So
you can say whatever you want to say, but unless you follow through with it, like, to the letter, and even more so,
at the same time, like,
they'll find a way to do what they want to do.
Right. And I think even with following through, you know, like, she was still sneaking around. I mean, you got to sleep as a parent.
Well,
you got to
sleep
at some point, you know.
Especially if you got chitlins, you know.
So I think they really did everything right, but... It happens.
You just can't.
You can't monitor your child literally 24/7.
That's right.
You know,
unless you put a microchip
in. It's difficult, right?
Yeah.
Then at 1 p.m. on April 23rd, 2006, a 5-year-old neighbor friend of Jacob's stopped by the Richardson house to see if Jacob wanted to play. He did this often. They were buddies. They played a lot. After knocking and getting no answer, he peeked in the window and he immediately rushed home to tell his mother that he saw a dead body in the house. Now, his mother was uncertain if her son was being truthful. I mean, I could totally understand being like, what? Like, that's a crazy thing. Like,
our kids have said some nutty stuff,
right?
And they're about that age,
a little older. Her statement, she even said that she told her son, like, if you're lying, like, you're going to be in big trouble. And he was like, no. Like, I promise there's a dead body laying there. So she went to investigate, and to her surprise, there was, in fact, a body laying just inside the basement. Because you could kind of see, like, into the basement window, like, in the back part. Like, it was just, like, a door that went in. Mm-hmm. Anyways. So the neighbor ran back home with her son in fear of the possibility that the killer might still be, you know, hiding around the house.
Sure, yeah. No idea when it could have happened.
Yeah. And she called 911 from her vehicle. So they jumped in her car in case they had to, like, you know, get out of there quickly. Yeah.
Yeah. Evac.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That would be really scary.
That would be terrifying.
Yeah, just absolutely not knowing if somebody's still hanging out around there or not.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like you said, she doesn't know when it happened.
Yep, yep.
When police arrived, they ended up having to bust down the front door, and they went straight into the basement where they found both Mark and Deborah dead.
Oh, man.
The worst of all, though, and this breaks my heart, 8-year-old Jacob was found dead in his bed. He was curled up in a ball with his blood-soaked stuffed animals, and it really, really kills me that just that entire thing.
Yeah.
After looking around the house, police found that there were family pictures that included a girl, and they soon realized that the Richardson's older daughter was gone. Suspecting that she had been kidnapped by the murderer, they put out an Amber Alert for 12-year-old Jasmine Richardson.
Right.
Which, it's exactly what, you know, you would think they would do.
Well, sure, yeah. I mean, it's a terrible scene to roll up on. You know, everybody in the house is dead. There's a person that's in the family that's missing, so...
Their immediate thought isn't going to be like, oh...
She killed her family.
Right.
Like, it's, you know, somebody took her. Exactly. Somebody else did this. Yeah, of course.
But just... So, like I said, they thought that she was kidnapped, but she was, in fact, with the murderer.
Yeah.
Murderer. Just not the way that they had assumed in the beginning. After a search of the family's computers and of Jasmine's locker, they found some of the most important clues in the investigation.
Oh, my God.
Now, this is where it gets a little more ridiculous.
Oh.
In Jasmine's locker, there were drawings that she had made. So, these were, like, little stick figures, like stick figure people. And it basically illustrated herself and her boyfriend killing her family in a house fire. It was ridiculous. Just hanging out in her locker. I don't know. The online profiles that Jasmine frequently used really, really, like, held the most clues out of the entire thing. After Mark and Deborah refused to allow Jasmine to continue her relationship with Jeremy, she had drafted an ominous plan. She began sending messages to Jeremy online saying things like, quote, I have a plan. It begins with me killing them and ends with me living with you. And instead of Jeremy being an adult and telling Jasmine, you know, this plan's wrong, don't do this.
Yeah.
The two devise a plan to murder her family. And
idiots.
I mean, he's a grown-ass man.
Yeah.
He absolutely, one, shouldn't have even been in the situation.
No.
But two, when somebody comes to you saying that they want to kill their parents, he should have told her it was wrong.
Absolutely. And he probably should have also told somebody else about it as well.
And that's,
and any self-respecting person, you know what? I just figured it out. The reason why he always goes for the younger girls is because older people are not dumb enough to believe that any of the bullshit that comes out of his mouth.
Right.
I'm a 300-year-old werewolf, and this is blood that I wear around my neck for no good reason other than to be cool.
Right. No, I totally agree.
It's flipping corn syrup.
Yeah. So apparently after their discussion, he made a blog post on his profile saying, quote, they shall pay for their insolence. Finally, there shall be silence. Their blood shall be payment. I mean, they're literally just, like, dropping breadcrumbs everywhere. Everywhere, they go.
Just in case you guys need to know who did it, here's a bunch of freakishly graphic clues.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Dumb asses.
So, police also spoke with some of Jasmine's friends at school, who stated that she had frequently talked in the days leading up to this about killing her parents, but that they never thought she was serious, so nobody really notified anyone of the things that she was saying. It's like almost every case.
Every case.
If somebody tells you that they're going to kill their parents,
tell someone else.
Going to kill somebody, yes.
Tell a grown-up.
Tell somebody.
Pull them to the side, that person as well. Have a short conversation saying, listen, think about what you're saying. You know, there are thousands of other different possibilities and things and ways to handle the situation other than jumping straight into murder.
Right. And I'm not saying, like, or, you know, like, if somebody drops something and you're like, oh, God, I'm going to kill you, don't even say that. But, like, I'm talking about, like, I'm going to go home and I want to kill my parents. I want to do this or do that. Like, she was literally going into detail about this stuff, saying that she wanted to kill her parents.
Ha, it ha, wasn't ha, like, what a funny joke.
You know, And I've heard people use the phrase, like, I'm going to kill you or I'm going to kill this person or whatever. Like,
but you can tell the difference between a joke and
right.
when Absolutely. Somebody may actually be contemplating that. Now, again, her friends were probably 12-year-olds as well.
Right.
And, you know, exactly. I don't know. But maybe still.
I'm sure that that's, you're right. They probably just took it as whatever. But
there again, I mean, depending on how long the conversation was and how much detail was put into it, like, there should have been a point where, you know, the other person started to get a little uncomfortable with it. And Absolutely. If that ever happens, if you get this uneasy, uncomfortable feeling when somebody's joking with you or whatever, then you owe it to yourself as well as them and any of the people that could be involved to go tell somebody who can actually make a difference.
Right. I totally agree. Make sure you speak up. That's
especially if you're a kid.
Right. So police finally caught up with the duo the next morning on April 24th when they spotted...
How did they catch them?
Well, they spotted them at the local gas station, and I'm going to butcher the name of this town, but I think it's pronounced... I don't even want to try.
Where is it at?
Let me do it.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I know that one.
Saskatchewan?
Saskatchewan.
Yes. Saskatchewan. So they caught them in Saskatchewan with a group of friends, and once they were arrested, Jasmine and Jeremy had absolutely no problem with telling police what had happened. Both had admitted to the horrific murders of the family. However, Jasmine told police that she had only been joking when she told Jeremy that she wanted to kill her parents.
Aren't we all joking when we get caught?
I mean...
It was all an elaborate joke.
Right. And her messages weren't just like, oh my God.
No.
They're so annoying. I just want to kill them. Like, they were legit, like, planned out, detailed, I want to kill my parents.
Yeah.
You know?
It was, she started all of that.
Exactly.
Whether she was joking or not.
Right. But, so, like I said, she was joking, but that she decided to go along with the plan that she made seem like Jeremy
came up with.
Yeah. Because she thought that it would bring them closer together.
Yeah, so it'll walk, you fucking nutbags.
Yeah. Jeremy admitted to drinking and doing cocaine all day and also watching Natural Born Killers, which I don't know. They kind of took the lead on this and headlines, you know, and I don't know. I know that shit happens, but I think it's silly sometimes when they kind of take stuff like this and run with it, being like, oh, this is what made them kill the
parents. Yeah, right. Like a movie and right. drugs made him kill. No, right. Like
it's the problem. There's mental health issues.
Yeah.
There, so.
It's not because he sat down while on booze and cocaine and watched a movie and was like, oh my God, that's it. That's right. What's missing in my life. I need to go out and kill a family.
Exactly. Totally agree. So he waited until dark, and this is when he went to the Richardson home and broke in through the basement window. Deborah, she heard the ruckus and came down to check, and that's when Jeremy stabbed her 12 times. And he was extremely aggressive. Like, he screamed, die, which is insane, numerous times. Then, because Mark heard Deborah's scream, he come running down, and he grabbed a screwdriver tool for his defense, but Jeremy began to stab him as soon as he entered the basement. And Mark put up a fight. He, unfortunately, though, was stabbed 24 times.
Easy cow.
While asking Jeremy why.
Yeah.
And Jeremy replied with, because this is what your daughter wanted. And that is very sad for him, too. The last thing that runs through his mind and that he hears was that his daughter, you know, it's very heartbreaking.
Super heartbreaking.
Jeremy said he then went upstairs to Jacob's room where Jasmine was there with him. And I just want to give you guys a warning right now. You might want to turn away because it's very sad. So this is where he says that Jasmine slit her little brother's throat while he begged her not to do it.
Yeah.
Both Jasmine and Jeremy blame the killing of Jacob on each other. Nobody will take responsibility for this. Jasmine did, however, say that they both decided it would be cruel to leave her brother alive without parents.
Well, that's great. I'm really glad that they took it upon themselves to make such a thought-provoking decision that was none of their damn business to make in the first place.
They don't even do this at all. Like, they had a choice.
They had numerous choices.
none of this, that right there, that statement right there, that does not make anything better.
No.
Absolutely not. It's disgusting.
It's fucking sick.
So Jasmine said that Jeremy then, after the murders, he then left to go home while she stayed to clean herself up and pack her bags.
Oh boy, we got a group of scholars here that are going to, what do they call it? Your future leaders of America? Yeah. Okay, well, now that we've committed this murder, I'm going to pack.
Right.
Yeah, like. Why weren't you already packed?
It's crazy. This whole thing's crazy.
Dummies.
She then took some money from her parents, and she called for a cab and went to Jeremy's. So, like I said, they left breadcrumbs everywhere.
Yeah, that one's more of a, like, a sign.
Yeah.
Instead of a breadcrumb. Right. It's like, oh, by the way, I left after I killed everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That night, the two were seen together at a restaurant laughing. So they had them on film, on camera. Before they went to a party where friends said that they were happy, they acted... Nobody knew that they had just killed her entire family. They were kissing each other all night long. Friends said that Jeremy had actually bragged about his black eye that he got from Jasmine's dad. He never really said... He just made it seem like they were in a fight, like a little altercation.
Yeah.
But he did, however, tell one of his friends that he had killed them. But the friend claimed that he thought that Jeremy was joking.
Yeah, again, of course.
You know. Jeremy asked one girl named Casey Lancaster. So Casey was one of Jeremy's really good friends. They had known each other most of their life. And Casey did actually have like a long crush on Jeremy. Like she had a crush on him for a very long time. So he had asked her to clean the blood out of his truck, which I think is insane.
That he got from his black eye.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And to park it down the street. Casey later claimed that she thought that the blood was from the fight that Jeremy was in, where he got the black eye, so she never questioned it. Like, if somebody was like, hey, go clean my truck out for me, I'd be like, hell no, go do it yourself.
Yeah, no shit. I'm not gonna, yeah. Right. If you were like, hey, go clean my car out, I'd be like, no, you got hands. It's not my shit, it's your shit.
Yeah.
Well, some of it's probably my shit, but anyway. And another thing, don't brag about having a black eye because you got into an altercation with somebody. The only thing you're doing is proving to the world that you're really good at blocking somebody's fist with your face.
Right. Yeah. So Casey also stated that the next day she was going to drive one of her friends to a nearby town because her friend was going to run away. And she asked Jeremy and Jasmine if they wanted to go because they, quote, looked bored.
So these friggin' idiots are just like, they have their master's degrees in determining whether or not somebody looks bored or not to intervene. To try to help. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to joking about murder,
right.
They can't
tell the difference.
What the frig?
I totally agree. So she says at this point, though, when she asked them, she was still unaware of everything that had happened. And Casey said that the couple rode in the back of the truck. So the truck had like a bed cover. And once they stopped for gas, she was at the counter, checking out when she noticed a newspaper showing Jasmine's picture and a description of the crimes that had happened. She then took the paper out to them, and that's when she asked if they had anything to do with the murders. And at this point, the couple starts laughing, and police actually was there. They spotted the truck, they snuck into the area, and they watched the couple laugh about this. Like, they could see it, they could hear it. And this is when they swarmed in and arrested all of them.
Congratulations, you daft, dumb idiots. You're in trouble.
Exactly.
So, I must say, I do believe that one time, the people that you and me were hanging out with last night, he and I, at one point, long ago in our past, rode in the back of a pickup truck that had one of those cover things on it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. There was no room in the front.
I don't think I've ever done that before.
Well, it's not very pleasant, but it wasn't a long drive, and it was to go to the good old Mountaineer for some late-night coffee and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
So it was pretty funny.
Right. So while the two were in custody, they often wrote letters back and forth. In one of the letters, Jeremy had asked Jasmine to marry him. He said that they would run away to Germany and live in a castle to where she would happily respond with a yes.
Idiots.
Yeah.
Stupid idiots.
That crazy.
Yeah.
You're not gonna run away to Germany, and you're not gonna live in a castle.
Sure. You know, I mean, just like there's castles like all everywhere. Over the place. I'm having a tough time getting a dang car. How the hell are these, you know, delinquents that are gonna be in prison forever, or they should be?
Get a castle.
Go to Germany.
Somebody crossed this castle that was. Hey. Nobody lived here.
How much for the castle?
Move in.
Well, they'd probably just kill everybody and take it.
Probably.
Ass clowns. Funny, but
yeah. Now, after Jasmine's arrest, her name can no longer be published in the media due to the Canada Youth Criminal Justice Act. Also, under this act, juveniles under 14 years of age at the time of the crime cannot be tried or sentenced as adults and cannot be given more than a 10-year sentence. So, by the time of Jasmine's conviction, she was only 13 years old, and she was found guilty of 3 counts of first-degree murder on July 9, 2007. She is known as the youngest person in Canada to commit a multiple murder. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
She was sentenced to a max 10-year imprisonment, but she was given time served for the 18 months that she was in custody, and instead of prison, she was sent to a psychiatric hospital for 4 years. Then she was released and given a 4.5-year under conditional supervision in the community. So basically, she just
got away with it scot-free.
Pretty much. She pretty much just spent 4.5 years in a psychiatric hospital, and then she was released back out into the community and, like I said, was under supervision. In 2011, she was doing normal things, like she was attending class at Mount Royal University in Calgary, and shortly after her sentence was complete, she was freed of any court-issued conditions or supervision. And if she stays clear of trouble for 5 years after her release, which I think this has already happened by now, then the murders in which she helped commit are completely expunged from her record. And she has since moved in. She has a new identity. Nobody knows her. Nobody knows who she, you know, like, she's scot-free of all of it.
Bullshit. 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 Bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
It took me 10 years to get a legitimate, wrong place, wrong time, bullshit, misdemeanor thing off my record expunged. 10 years.
For something okay. that you weren't even a part
of. For something that I wasn't even a part of. And this bitch murders her whole family, spends 4 years in a psychiatric ward, gets out scot-frickin'-free, and then she can apply for any job that she wants to get mm-hmm. within 5 years after that because it's expunged from her frickin' record.
Exactly. Well, many people in the community did not agree with this choice.
And
yeah, they believed that she should have been sentenced longer for Jesus. Her part in the murders.
Yeah.
They don't feel that justice was served.
No, it at wasn't. All.
And they That's... said that they don't feel safe knowing that she's out there, possibly even living next door to them. And like I reason. Said, nobody knows. Nobody knows
it's
what...
bullshit.
Right. I mean, she was 13 the last time anybody really seen her face. So, you know, she's probably changed quite a bit.
Yeah, and she's got
years.
A different name and everything, right?
Exactly.
So, yeah, that's awesome.
Good. I totally understand the outrage. I Jesus. Totally do. And I just want to mention this. Like, I know that the Canadian justice system is a lot different than American, you know,
yeah,
legal justice system. And I do like the things that they're trying to do with rehabilitating people. My only beef is people that commit
murder.
Crimes against children, murder.
And
any kind of, yeah, sexual acts. I don't feel that you can rehabilitate somebody.
Over 80% of people that have done things of that nature reoffend.
Yeah.
Over 80%.
It's crazy.
If they're given a second chance, they usually always reoffend.
Right.
Okay. If that isn't good enough throughout the decades that they've been doing shit like this, for them to figure out letting them back out is a terrible idea, like...
Yeah.
I don't know. There's no hope.
I totally agree. You know? I mean, like I said, I do agree with it, but just not for a certain couple groups of offenders, you know,
yeah.
like I said, the rapes, the murders, uh-huh. the child offenders, you know, things
yeah.
like that. And it is a little, I don't know.
It doesn't matter what frame of mind you were in, if you pleaded insanity or whatever, right, they're susceptible to doing it again.
Absolutely.
And
I totally
it's
agree.
Not worth the risk.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Absolutely
they
not.
Deserve to pay for the crime. They took a life.
Yeah.
That life is gone.
Yep.
Okay. And that not only affected the person who's no longer with us, but it affected every person that knew that person.
Yeah.
In some way or another. So the least that that person could do, regardless of the reason for murdering somebody, is to serve a life sentence or to be put down mm-hmm. themselves.
Absolutely.
In my, that's just my opinion.
Yeah.
Okay. And I know that other people feel differently and stuff like that. And somebody that young, you'd think, oh, let's give them another chance. No.
Right.
No. I mean, breaking and entering, shoplifting,
yeah.
You know,
things like that.
Accidental vehicular manslaughter. These are totally different things.
Right. Right. Totally agree. So it was reported that her rehabilitation was going well.
Of course it was.
And she expressed remorse for her actions and that experts considered that it was genuine. But, like, I mean, people, the public was still not happy with this.
Psychopaths are really good at manipulating people.
Right.
Okay. So, of course, she's going to be like, oh, well, if I don't show signs of remorse, then they're not going to do what I want them to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, it's great and
ridiculous.
All, but that's not good enough. I'm
mm-mm.
sorry. Like, she does not deserve freedom.
Well, Jeremy was tried in November of 2008, and he was found guilty on 3 counts of first-degree murder. He was sentenced to 3 life sentences on December 15th, 2008, he has to serve 1 for each first-degree murder count. He was ordered to serve each sentence consecutively, and he will not be eligible for parole until he has served at least 25 years. So,
yeah. So that's pretty
that's
interesting.
That's another thing that people
super
were
steep difference
kind of outraged
between
about.
The two?
Right, that he got a more severe sentence yeah. because he was an adult. And she got a lesser sentence because she was a child. Now, he was, in fact, the ones that did physically commit the murders.
Right.
We're unsure of who was responsible for killing her brother.
Out. They could have
right.
figured that out.
And it's,
there's a huge difference
I think that it was Jasmine. I do mm-hmm. believe that she was the one that did it.
They probably didn't release the information.
Right.
You could tell the difference between a strike from a man and a strike from a child.
Oh, definitely. So that's one reason why he got, they both were responsible for
yes,
this.
Yes, so they were.
They, in my opinion, they both should have
gotten the same
similar.
Sentencing as him.
She should have at least gotten more than she did, but
yeah.
it's, I don't know. And Casey Lancaster, the one that, drove the vehicle.
The girl mm-hmm. that cleaned it.
Right, so she pled guilty to an obstruction charge, and therefore the accessory to murder charge that she was given was dropped. She was given 1 year of house arrest, and as a part of her plea bargain, she was ordered to refrain from drugs or alcohol. And Casey actually had a son. She had a small child. So she's very lucky. She's very lucky
mm-hmm.
that she did not get more than what she did.
There's
and
so
again,
googly eyes.
You know, I don't know if she honestly knew more than what she let on, but she did play a part in, like, driving them somewhere, which,
right.
again, like, she could have gotten a lot more than she did.
Yes.
So, yeah, I just, this case was pretty, pretty crazy.
Yeah, it's really, really terrible.
There were a lot of things in it that, especially people saying that they heard, you know, her talking about wanting to kill her parents and then Jeremy bragging about it. And just everybody was like, well, we didn't think it was, you know, we didn't think they were serious. Like,
but they looked bored, so I gave them a ride.
Yeah. Like, if again, if somebody says that they're going to kill someone, like, you need to speak up. You need
right.
to say something. You need to go to somebody and talk about it.
Yes. And I think there's an appropriate length of time that ensues within a joking fashion pertaining to a situation like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh my God, I'm gonna kill you for that, you know? And that's it. So a good 2 seconds. If it lasts any longer than 2 seconds, if it's mentioned more than one time throughout the time that it takes,
yeah,
you'll get uncomfortable.
Right.
You know?
Right.
This is a little too serious for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can tell that you're not joking.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know? I mean, if you want to be lazy and brush it off like that, well, then fine. I hope that you have difficulty sleeping with yourself because you had a chance to make a difference and you chose not to.
Yeah.
I would also like to make mention of, again, my opinion. This is what I believe in. I have training and things like that, but personal protection, you know, conceal carry permits, handguns, some sort of protection within the house or something like that, because had her father had a better way other than a screwdriver to protect himself and his loved ones, then we might have been telling a completely different story.
Absolutely.
And again, let me stress, that's just my opinion. All right. I firmly believe that it's important to be able to protect you and yours.
Right.
From threats.
Yes.
Foreign and domestic.
You're silly. Yeah, so that is the Richardson family case. Yep. Very, very, very sad.
Very traumatic.
Yes, I agree. I just want to say before we close out, don't forget to follow us on the gram, on the Instagram. We've got a lot of stuff going on there right now.
Yeah, it's at the moment, technically, it's our, the closest thing to our
website.
Website.
Yeah, I'm actually working on a website for us. Technology, I know I say this all the time, but me and technology just don't mix at all. Like, it's bad. But I'm trying really hard to get a website up. I have the website, and I am just having a difficult time, like, getting everything where I want it, and so on and so forth.
Bear with us, and yes, it will exist at some point.
It will. Yes. So, follow us on Instagram. I actually have a little giveaway that we're doing on there right now. It's pretty cute. You get some stickers and so on and so forth. So check it out. That will close on Halloween. So make sure you hop on and enter our giveaway. It's fun. And shirts. Don't forget, we have shirts now in our little merch store.
We've got some on the way to us.
Yes.
As we speak.
We ordered ours. We've sold some. So check it out. They're super cute. I'm excited to get them.
And if I'm impressed with the quality, I'm going to order an expensive hoodie.
Yes, I want a hoodie. I think they're really cute. Yay! Yeah. So I guess that's it. Until next time, we love you. Yes. Yes.
Yes, we do.
Yes. Yay.
Heart emojis.
Heart emojis.
Boop, 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 boop.
All right, guys.
That's the sound of a heart emoji.
We will talk next time.
Yes, we'll talk next time.
Bye.
Well, bye-bye.
That was a Titancast episode.